Na'ashos Avreichem, page Nun Aleph. The Rebbe is talking to us about the requirements, or at least a certain mindset that one must have in order to proceed with the program of developing into Jews who are misrakshim, who are mislahavim in the Avodas Hashem. And in the paragraph on Nun Aleph, Haloi Seda, so let's just review. We're in the middle of that paragraph, but the Rebbe begins by quoting from the Tikkun Isaiah, a very famous mimer. Haloi Seda Tashar Isa B'Tikkun Isaiah Kodesh Tikkun Yud Daraisa B'Lod Chilu Rechimu, that if a person learns Torah without love and fear, without fear and love, tchilu urechimu, loy parchas leila, then that Torah doesn't have the ability to fly up, to rise up to the higher world. Lo parchas leila, ubesikun ayin sham isa de ben Torah ben tfilu b'layir oid chasas sholem ayros charinaf. Not only that, but Torah learning and davening without yira, could God forbid even be ma'ira, could even arouse charinav anger. V'yesh oid mi shalomid b'ayfen geruah chasashom shagam l'kal b'ismasa. There's even a type of Torah learning that's not only that it's not with yira, but it's for ulterior motives, and that learning is given over to the other side, to the side of the dogs, to the side of impurity. Haynish nimsu l'sitra'ach rachman l'slam. So it's a frightening thing. Even he says, let's say that you're learning is good and is for the right reason. And who could be compared to you, the light of Hashem? He says besides learning Torah, Our avida also has to be the machshava dibur or maise. Our avida Hashem has to be in thought, in word, and action. It's not enough to be learning. Miyid melachmeinu chachmei haTalmud zal shemosu nafsham alim haTorah. So this is what we're up to. We see that Chazal had unbelievable mesiris nefesh for learning Torah. When we kol makom scharnos divrei Rabbi Elazar. And yet, we have to remember what Rabbi Elazar said. Where Rabbi Elazar said, we should stand up, let us stand up before Rabbi Yaakov, because he's a person who's a Yirei Chet. He fears sin. Let's stand up in the presence of Rabbi Yaakov. He's a Jew that fears sin. He's a Yirei Chet. Ukshom Rabbi Simon Nekum Mikamei Degvar Bar Aryanhu. So, when Rabbi Simon said we should stand up before Rabbi Yaakov, why? Because he's a person who's a Talmud Chacham. A Bar Aryan means he's a Talmud Chacham. So Toma, so Rabbi Elazar was wondering. He said, I already told you, that he's a person who's a Yirei Chet. We have to stand up for Rabbi Yaakov because he's a Yirei Chet. He fears sin. The gvar dochel chetunhu, v'amart li ad bar aryanhu, and you think that you're adding something, you're telling me something that he's a talmud chacham. In other words, what the Rebbe shows him here is, Akolash Nagamari says, shakol kach gedoy la'mayla sheiras chetay, amalosu shul ben tayre. In other words, in the eyes of Rabbi Elazar, the fact that Rabbi Yaakov was a yirei chet, that he feared sin, that he was such a person that was a yirei chet, to him, it was such a great mayla. In other words, when the call came in to Rabbi Elazar regarding his shidduch for Rabbi Yaakov, and the girls' parents were asking, what's the greatest maila of Rabbi Yaakov in the eyes of Rabbi Elazar, that the greatest maila was that he's a Yirei Chet. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. Of course, that's a great Maila. But in the eyes of Rabbi Elazar, the greatest milah of all was that he's a Yirei Chet. So he's saying that when he says, I was praising Rabbi Yaakov, or I said that we should stand in his presence because he's a Yirei Chet. And now you're telling me we should stand because he's a Talmud Chacham, that he knows how to learn. So Rabbi Elazar says that I was focusing on the ikur of who the person is, that he's a Yirei Chet. To the point that Beloza was wondering, why is it that you see that as his greatest maila, that he's a Talmud Chacham, that he knows how to learn? Of course, Rabbi Loza is not saying that we don't stand before a person knows how to learn, that's not a great maila. But Rabbi Loza says that we're standing in the presence of the greatest maila of this person, Rabbi Yaakov, which is that he's a Yirei Chet, he's a Talmud Chacham. But the Nekudah HaPnimis is that he's an Elch Yid. He saw Yiras Chet as being a greater Maila than the fact that Rabbi Yaakov had to learn. Even though we know the Chazal tell us that Torah protects a person more than mitzvahs, that mitzvahs have the ability to protect you while you're in the act of performing the mitzvah, so mitzvahs protect you. Mashen Kim Torah has an ability to go beyond the moment that you're learning to protect the person, to shield the person. Umikol makayim, nevertheless, the Gemara Sanhedrin, Isa, the Gemara says there, Omar is talking about it. Rava says, "B'shnei the Rabbi Yehuda kulo tanoi ben Ezekin, v'nam kamas nizin masninan tuva ba'oktsin." The Gemara there says, Rava was saying that in the generation of Rabbi Yehuda, they were specializing in learning in Shas the Seder of Nezikin, and they were big, not only bekiyim, but they were very great. And learned in very great depth the Seder of Nezikin in Shas. Vanan, Rav is saying, Komasminan Tuva Ba'oktsin. Oktsin, of course, is the completion of Shas, meaning to say that in our generation, my boys in our yeshivas know the whole Shas. All the way from Brachas to Oktsin, the whole Shas. When Rabbi Yehuda would come to, when it would be quoted or come to the to a Mishnah in Uktsin, to a Sugi in Uktsin, Omar Havayis Deravu Shmuel Kachazin Hacha. It was Rabbi Yehuda used to say, it's so difficult to learn the Mishnayis in Uktsin like it is to learn the Havayis, the deepest discussions in learning between Rav and Shmuel. Why? Because, in other words, Rav is saying that in the generation of Rabbi Yehuda, they really focused just on Nezikin, and they didn't cover all of Shas in the way that they were in the generation of Rava. Ad kedei kach, that Rabbi Yehuda said that it was difficult for us to learn Pshat in Uktsin. Vanan, and Rava says, Vanan komasminin ba'oktsin, klas shremesifte. He says, now in our generation, Rava says, we're learning uktsin in 13 yeshivas, 13 mesiftes, meaning we're learning whole shas, we're finishing up all shas. Not daf yomi, which is a nice thing, but in depth, all of shas. And look what he says. Rabbi Yehuda Shalif Nisane V'Osa Mitra. And yet, despite this difference in learning, in other words, Rav is saying that in our times, the quality or the level, well, the whole question of this Matu Adaris, he's saying that in our times, as far as mastering all of Shas, we're ahead of the time of Rabbi Yehuda. And despite that, when it would be a Tanis Tzibur, when it would be a public fast day because there was a lack of rain, because of famine and lack of rain, Rabbi Yehuda would come into the shul, Rabbi Yehuda Shalof Misanu, and by the time Rabbi Yehuda would take off one of his shoes, he had to take off the shoes because of the tannis. By the time he would take off one of his shoes, Rabbi Yehuda Shalof Misanu for Osa Mitra, it would already start raining. Rabbi Yehuda would walk into shul, or the tannis tibur, and sit down on the floor and take off one shoe already, and give it whatever cracks, and the rain would start to come. Vanan tzavchinam. And in our generation, we scream and we cry, the lake of the maskechban, and they're not paying any attention to us, meaning in Shemayim, no rain. So how do you explain such a thing? That was Rav is saying that in Rabbi Yehuda's generation, there was such a koyach of tefillah, and they were able to pile such things with their tefillahs. And our generation is unable to do such things, to see such results from tefillah, and it doesn't seem to stim. Because as far as the level of learning is concerned, we have what to be proud of, to say that in our times, where we're going through all of Shas, not just Nezikin, but the knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula is more widespread than in the time of Yehuda. So how do we explain this discrepancy? Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Rava comes to the conclusion. Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Libaboy. Apparently the Bnei Shalom wants our hearts. No, should we plaster this in all the yeshivas nowadays? Every single street corner in Bnei Brak and all the walls everywhere in our beautiful little Torah world. To plaster this Gemara. And what's the matter with our tefillahs? And what's the matter with our... And why is it that we see that we're crying and screaming and we can't see the tefillahs being accepted the way that they were by generations of Jews who might have known less, but whose hearts were filled with the Yiras Hashem, with Emunah, and so on. And this is not to downplay the significance of learning, God forbid. That's not the point. Obviously, we have to do the best we can. Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu Libaboy. The Bnei Shalom wants our hearts. The Rashi Perish, Hem Hayu Chasidim Yoisim Imenu. So Rashi explains, so that Rava was saying, so how is it that by in the generation where there was less Torah, the tefillos were answered in such a way with the rain, and we're screaming and yelling of La'ashkechban, and they don't seem to be paying any attention to us in Shammai, because they were more righteous. Hema yichasidim yoyser men. Because in Rabbi Yehuda's time, they were more righteous than us. Ayin shom. Ubebrachas yisal zeh kamoi habakamasri nafshayim kudushas Hashem. The Gemara Brachas makes the distinction between the earlier generations and the later generations, that the earlier ones were Maisa Nefesh and Kedushas Hashem. The Yiddishkeit was with Mesiris Nefesh. Zayis Amerish Loidai Limit HaTorah Belvad. The Rebbe says, we see from here clearly that the way to measure a Jew is not just by Torah learning. That's not how we size up a Jew, that's not how we size up a generation of Jews. Just by Limud Torah Belvad. Akzichim gam liyos chosik. V'zehu ha'ikah. One has to be a chosid. One has to be righteous. Rachman alibaboy. V'zehu ha'ikah. And that is the ikah. That's the yisayid. And if you look in the new chelik of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, just if you start and you read the first parak, in Bechlal, what all of his svarim are talking about is this nakuda, that we're baffled, we don't understand why is it there's never been as much Torah learning in Klal Yisrael as now, Baruch Hashem. Maybe not, certainly not on the level that it used to be by the select elite. We don't have any more Reb Chaim Eiser, we don't have
We don't have a Baruch Ber on that level of learning. But as far as Torah being available to the masses, it's never been like this ever, Baruch Hashem, and there's many yeshivas and so on. And sometimes as a generation we feel also that we're screaming and calling out and we're not being answered. And when an entire generation is building a Yiddishkeit, level after level after level upon level of Yiddishkeit, without the yisoid of being a mamon, of believing in Hashem, and dveikus b'Hashem, being properly developed, when a person thinks that emunah means just believing that God exists, and not living every single second with emunah, like he brings there in the first parak, that Rav Chaska Levenstein got up, and he was already almost 90 years old. He got up by the beam in Panavish, and he gave a clap, and he said, Rabbi Isai, he says, for many, many decades, I'm giving shmuzen about emunah, and I'm telling you that if I'm a sikh das, that if I stop thinking for a moment about emunah, if for a moment I'm not working on my emunah, so then I immediately feel that I'm slipping away. I start to slip from my Yiddishkeit. And yet if you ask any one of us, or any yeshiva bach, or any person that's Orthodox, so if you ask him about his emunah, so what do you mean? I have emunah. Of course, I believe in God, and I believe in God since I'm a kid. I believe in God, and I always believe in God. And Rabbi Chaska Levenstein, who's, if you look at Rabbi Chaska's swarm, you'll see that come out every mimer is on the Indian of emunah. Emunah b'chush, emunah chush is emunah. The whole Indian of Rabbi Chaska Levenstein is emunah. And when he was almost 90 years old, he said that if I stop thinking about it, if I stop working on my emunah for a moment, I begin to slip. So what does that mean? It means that we're missing something. It means that apparently it's not just believing that God exists, although that's a nice beginning, but apparently that's not what it means. That's not it, to be a ma'amin. And the avoida, what the Rebbe is talking about here, Rachmana Liba Boy, that avoid of Rachmana Libaboy, of making ourselves into emissa Avdei Hashem, that the Baruch Shalom is not just telling us to learn, the Baruch Shalom wants us to become big Avdei Hashem with great learning, of course. And there's no question that learning is the jewel in the crown of a Ben Taira, of course. But all of one's learning, if it's missing that underlying yesod of healthy emunah, so it doesn't necessarily lead. It doesn't necessarily lead to one's tefillahs being answered, and it doesn't necessarily lead to a Yiddishkeit that is nefila and yerida free. And we see in our generation that the fact that somebody knows how to learn, or he spent a lot of time in yeshiva, doesn't necessarily mean that when it comes to a Nisayan, or a certain level of Nisayan. I was explaining yesterday, I was learning with somebody with a group, we were talking about, we were learning the Levavim Mishkan of the second Chel. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it's all a matter of what level, like we saw just now last week, the kind of Nisayan that a person can withstand. It depends, you know, if you have, so a person's learning, and he could, maybe he's good for a Nisayan level 2 or 3, but if it comes to Nisayan level 5, then the levy doesn't hold up to that, right? It breaks, it bursts by that Nisayan. It's a question of what type of Nisayan he has to deal with. So when he's in yeshiva and he's learning, so he feels that through his learning that he'll be secure, he'll be safe and secure, and he'll stay dry, and everything will be fine. And then when he goes out a little bit, and he sees, so that it's just a matter of what type of a hurricane comes his way. Like we see that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, there's such a thing as a Jew who's so firmly rooted in Yiddishkeit that no matter what hurricane comes his way, the levee doesn't break, and the floodwaters don't come in. When a person's Yiraschait, when his fear of God and his emunah is the underlying basis of who he is, and upon that, upon the Rachmana Liba Boy, upon the Yiras Hashem, there are there's a skyscraper of Torah that's built. So then, no matter what hurricane, could be a hurricane level 5, 6, 7, makes no difference. So then, nothing can be like that person. Nothing can uproot the person. The problem that we're having is that when there's learning without Avodah, when there's learning without Rachmana Libavoy, without Liba, without Yiras Chayt, so then we're finding that not only are our tefillahs not being answered, but we're finding that the first breeze that comes along throws us off totally, throws us completely off. And we think that by the children, by the boys being driven to the point of actually getting to Uktzin, which is a fantastic accomplishment, so we think that that's guarantees that they're going to be protected in the secular world, and that they're never going to be interested in looking at an internet, or looking at a movie, or reading the wrong magazine or book, or looking or picking up their eyes in the street and looking at the wrong thing, because Sof Kol Sof, he learned all the way from Brachas to Uktzin. No, we don't see that in our generation. We see that in our generation, that even people that are learning are overwhelmed by the hurricanes and the nesiyanis, because the levee is not, it has cracks, and from the very foundation it wasn't strong, because the foundation of being a Jew is emunah, is to be a mammon, is to be a reishamayim. That's the foundation of Yiddishkeit. And when the Torah is being taught, and the yisoid of emunah is not being nurtured and developed, so then when the nisyonos come, the hurricane winds enter into that Ben Torah's life, so it could be that the Torah that he learned will hold things back a little bit. There's no question. But ultimately, with Uktzin, a guy can get totally, totally uprooted, and we see that. Ubamech sidas tluya. The Rebbe continues. Ubamech sidas tluya. Belev. And one of the sad results of a certain mahalach that has taken over many parts of Klai Yisrael, one of the sad results is that every single Jew, every single Jew, no matter what his intellectual capacity, can be the biggest mammon and the biggest yirei shemayim and the biggest yirei chayt, every single Jew. But if the bacha, if every single shmuz that the bacha ever heard, every shmuz he ever heard was that the only way that you could possibly contend with the world is through knowing Torah and becoming great in Torah, and that's the only shmuz that the kid ever heard. And he never heard from his Rebbe. His Rebbeim never ever really worked together with them in the union of Yerushalayim and Amunah, where every single Jewish child is great, and every single Jewish child can become greater and greater and greater and be proud of himself. So what happens is that many of the boys who don't have the ability to become great in learning, they don't have the intellectual kaiches to become great in learning, but they have a Yiddish and the Sham to become great, great tzaddikim and emunah and yerushalayim. So to begin with, they feel that they're losers, and to begin with, they feel that they have no chance to succeed in fighting off the hurricanes and the nesiyanis, because every shmuz they ever heard told them the only way that you could deal with hurricanes is by learning the next page and by mastering the amasachta of so and so. Again, that's all very, very, very great. And Rabbi Sosolanta said that, you know, and he explained that Torah is a samchaim, it gives life, and just by learning Torah, it protects us. And I said it could hold off some damage. But ultimately, if the emunah is not developed, then the yisoid is not there. The yisoid is not there. And all of the boys, and girls, but to less an extent, because they learned some of the Yoni Emunah, all the boys are wondering exactly, what did my Rebbe mean? That by my understanding, Taisvus, that I'm not going to have a problem when I go to work. I think I understand Tysus, and I'm still having a problem with this person that I'm meeting at work. So does that mean that Torah doesn't have such a... Of course Torah has such power. But Torah that's learned with Yirat Shamayim. Torah that's learned with Emunah. Not because it's just a fascinating subject and you could, you know, you could slug up your chavrusa. Then you go out into the world and there's so many people that when you look at them and they're 25, 35, 45, you wouldn't believe that they put in years of learning. And you don't see that in their hanhagas and how they act. If the Torah was without the Yisayid of Amunah and was without Yirat Shamayim and was without Lev, without heart, so then what happens? And certainly that doesn't mean that the heart is enough or the Yirat Shamayim is enough or the Amunah is enough. We have to do whatever we can to become great in learning. But one can't work without the other. So the Rebbe continues, Chesidus tluya b'lev, Rachmana liba bai. Chesidus, righteousness, Chesidus depends upon the heart. Rachmana liba bai. B'mez zaychem l'chesidus l'lev. So what does the Gemara mean in Brachas when it says the Kadmainim, the earlier ones had miracles, the earlier ones, they saw that tefillahs were being answered. So their hearts were great. And what makes the heart of a person great? How is one zeichet to see this ulalev? Ayadei mesirus nefesh. From mesirus nefesh in avodas Hashem. Kamoi haba kamasri nafshayu akdushas Hashem. The earlier ones were moisa nefesh akdushas Hashem. The avodas Hashem was in such a way with mesirus nefesh and kedushas Hashem and kiddush Hashem. Kibisefer Kodesh Beis Aaron. Beis Aaron is from the second Rabbi Aaron from Kalin, from Stalin. Kibisefer, that's a Zayde of the Pizetsna. Kibisefer Kodesh Beis Aaron, Isa Shalachay Nikri Mesiris Nefesh Lo Mesiris Haguf. So the Stalin explain, why is it called Mesiris Nefesh, when a person is prepared to die, Al Kiddush Hashem, it means he's given his body over to him. He's giving himself over completely. So why is it called Mesiris Nefesh, V'lo Mesiris Haguf? Why not giving over of the body? So he says, V'mnei she'en ha'kavonah shal Mesiris Nefesh rak b'shoah shabal l'day nisayin shal kvir chas ha'shalom. Moiseh esguf al ha'riga. So the tzaddik explains, because the meaning of mesiris nefesh, it's not only when it comes time for a nisayin of kfir, when a person is challenged, when a person is confronted, when a guy tells him, if you don't bow down to this avodah zarah, or if you don't convert, that you're going to be killed. It's not only, that's not a mesiris nefesh, that's not all it is. And if you say that's all it is, then you're limiting very much the whole insight of what Mesiris Nefesh is. He says it's not only it doesn't only mean giving your body over and allowing yourself to be killed and your life to be ended. He explains Ragam shekol avadosa bekol yimei chayev kulei ritzoinei machshavtoi midoise vegufei mesurim l'Hashem avadosa. That's what means mesirus nefesh al kiddush Hashem. There's one type of mesirus nefesh where a person is being asked to return make that decision and to give his body back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to die al kiddush Hashem, which is a very, very great thing. But the meaning of Mesiris Nefesh, he explains, is that a person lives his life where all of his avoda is with a giving over of the self. A Mesiris Nefesh. Without dying. A Mesiris Nefesh. So kol avadosa, but kol yimei chayef kulei ritzoyna, his desire, machshavta, his thoughts, midoise, v'gufa, everything is mesurim l'Hashem v'avadosa. Is given over to avodas Hashem. Gam misham that we see there in the Gemara Brachos, shalay ma'is and yisayin shal kfirim aviv mesiris nafsham.
because when you look there in the sugi in Brachas, and the Gemara there is talking about the Madrega of the earlier ones, of the Kadmainim, that they were Mice and Nefesh, the Gemara doesn't bring an example of anybody dying or being killed. What's the Gemara? The Gemara brings a Mice. The mother is talking about a mice of Mesiris Nefesh, of a tzaddik who saw a woman in public dressed immodestly. And with Mesiris Nefesh, the Gemara tells us, he went and he tore away that red garment that wasn't the tznius, the garment, knowing that that was something that could get him into great trouble. In the end, it turns out that it wasn't a Jewish woman. It was a mistake. It wasn't a Jewish woman. It was a kusis. It was a goita. I call upon him. The Gemara there is not talking about dying. The Gemara is talking about an act of Mesiris Nefesh with the tzaddik's understanding and the tzaddik's Mesiris Nefesh for the tznius of Abbas Yisrael was so great that he was prepared to do something that could cause him a tremendous amount of tzaras. But the Mesiris Nefesh was on a very pshuta, that this woman shouldn't be machshel other people by going in the street dressed immodestly. So the Gemara there is not talking about dying, or about forced conversions and shmad. The Gemara is talking about Mesiris Nefesh on tznius and on aveira, to somehow protect the Kedushas Yisrael. And that's called Mesiris Nefesh. And that's where the Gemara makes the distinction, that the earlier generations were Mesiris Nefesh and Al Kiddush Hashem, and that's why they saw miracles, and that's why the tefillos were answered in the most miraculous way, because the Yiddishkeit was with Mesiris Nefesh, which nowadays somebody of course would just say that that's intolerance. It's Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh should be politically incorrect. So it's a giving over of the self in one's avodas Hashem, not necessarily dying al kiddush Hashem. Yeah.
Sometimes somebody will work on their leave and they're, Mesiris Nefesh, and then they'll see some, safer on a Melech Pator that'll bring like 500 chazals, or like somebody does a chazer 5,000 times and learning while he's online, he's like a kofar, worse than the biggest Russia, and then you feel like, really a Russia.
Right.
They really make you feel like,
Right, so this is what I was saying before, that it's really up to the teachers of Klal Yisrael and each generation. The Baruch Hashem, Chazal, each Tana and each Amora was focusing on areas in Avodas Hashem that all of us, to become great, we need to work on. And that's why in the first parak there in Bilvavi Mishkan, in the second Chedav Bilvavi Mishkan, if you take a look, you'll see, is that a person knows that there are many things that we have to work on, there are many things that we have to learn, and you see that they're all different svarim, you can go to the svarim store and you pick up a sefer, and the sefer you're right, it's a likut, it's a collection of all the Mamari Chazal, the Rishayim and Achroidim, and the Inin of Amelus and Torah. And as you read the first five pages, you begin to see that the only way to save your life and to save yourself and to be a Jew is through Amelus and Torah. Then you move over along on the table in the Swarm store. There's a sefer that's on the subject of a subject on Tefillah, and then there's another one on Yiras Shemayim, and there's another one on Tikkun Hamidus, right? And there's another one on Tznius. And then you get to the table where they have some of the svarim from the tzaddikim, the misnachalim, from the has the yeshivas. And they'll say that the only way you're a Jew is if you live in Eretz Yisrael, if not, you're kaifa b'sha. Right?
So one thing you come out with 100% clear is you're for sure a kaifer. That's not a shiny issue. Because every table you messed up.
Yeah.
Every table you messed up. So, and every single one is saying from Abai, from Rav, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Slaki, Rabbi Yechanan, and every, you know, these are all very, very legitimate sources. And then you see that brings this from Rishis Chacham of Mesilas Sharm, it brings Maharals and every single thing. One's Yerushalayim and one's Amelus B'Torah and one's Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. All of those. Madragas and Avodas Hashem all of those Madragas as I said before, if they're not built upon the Yisoid of Rachmana Livaboy and Emuna, all of those Madragas will not necessarily save a person from Kfir. There are Jews who are madly in love with Eretz Yisrael and the Kaifim. There are Jews who have learned a lot more Torah than you and I, and wrote Kedusha Torah on Shabbos. There are Jews who are marvelous, wonderful people, and their midas are much more refined than ours. It doesn't save them from kfir. But you'll never find a Jew who is a mamin be'emunah shleima, and whose heart is filled with Hashem Yisbarach, who will be a kaifer. It's no such thing. It's attacked to disaster. Everything else is not attacked to disaster. A person can love Eretz Yisrael and be a kaifer. A person can have Gevaldig Midas and be a kaifer. A person can be a huge lamdan and be a kaifer. But a person can't be. A person can't be a chassid and be a kaifer. Can't be. So one has to. That's why it's the job of the teachers of the rebellion. And amidst some. The next generation that you're going to raise, whether you're a Rebbe or Mitzvah a father, it's the responsibility to raise a generation. It's the responsibility of Rebbe and parents to place things in the proper order. And when that's not done, so then there's terrible, terrible suffering on many different levels. There's terrible suffering. So, it's true that that a person has to be discerning when you look at these things and you see that every single safe that you open up is telling you that if you're not in this inyan, then you're the biggest rosh, you're the biggest kaif. Especially, you're right, especially when it comes to the inyan of Amelis Batar, as I said, that every single shmooze, because you know, that's what the boy heard from his Rebbe, every single shmooze on the inyan of Amelis Batar, not on what? On Ahavas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Avodas Hashem, and Rachmana Livaboy. So when the tzaddikim, the tanaim and amoraim were saying these things, when they were teaching these things, these were skyscrapers of Amelis B'Tar that were built upon a healthy, wholesome emunah Hashem, which is the basis of a Jew. But when teachers are just presenting those chazals or those mamorim from the Rishonim without going in the order of beginning with the Yisayid of Emunah, that means you're saying things that Jews are not maminim. And you're saying very strong things that Jews are not maminim. So what are the results of that? Many of the people just run away. They can't take it. They can't take it because they're suffocated by these things. Especially, as I said before, if you get a guy that he's not particularly great in learning, he doesn't understand much, or he doesn't have the zitzvah. He can't sit for more than a half hour, an hour. He can't. So then, if, God forbid, he reads any of those svarim, you know, he's finished. What every Jew has in common is to become attached, to become dovik to Hashem. All of those things, Torah especially, more than anything, tikkun hamidos, everything, strengthen our dveikus b'Hashem. But if you're missing the yisoid of Rachmana Livaboy, if you're missing the yisoid in avoda of emunah b'Hashem, so then everything else could be extremely unhealthy,
and it doesn't necessarily prevent a person from becoming a kaifer. You can get guys, and I was talking about this yesterday, the chavra that I had, students, and over the years I'm thinking, you get somebody that sat in yeshiva, was sitting in yeshiva for 20 years, and he goes to his first anthropology class in Queens College, he's finished. I've had conversations with guys. Went to one anthropology class where he gets some kaifer, stands up and says some ridiculous Irish kite, you know. Guy gets up there, one lecture by one kaifer, who himself probably never passed a test in high school. And 20 years of learning. You know how many ksaisen, you know how many nesivisen, you know how many kivegas and gemaras, 20 years of learning. A bug gets into the head. He can't daven, can't learn. He doesn't know what to do anymore. He feels that his tefillin, what's the point of putting on tefillin? What's the point of... I've had many conversations like this with people. So everybody can say, don't go to the anthropology class. And Hanami, there's no reason to go. I say, don't look at the internet, because if you look at the internet, you become a kaifer, you become a rush, you become a megalai rais, you shayfer gadam, naivet avet azar. The Chofetz Chaim wouldn't have become such a person if he saw any of these things. God forbid, never would have happened, but he wouldn't have become a kaifer. But when your entire Yiddishkeit is so fragile, you hear? When your Yiddishkeit is so fragile, when your emunah is so weak, then they can't make any technology that's going to prevent you from seeing that first thing on the internet, which they're trying to do. They're trying to find some way to prevent every Jewish child from seeing something on the internet. No, halavai, they should be matzliach. And then they're going to then they're building so that you have Baruch Hashem, there's Monroe and there's New Square. You don't think it would be good for us to have places like that? It would be very good for us to have places like that. Our children should be brought up in Kedush and Tahara. You ever go take a ride through Monroe, take a ride through New Square? It's beautiful. Yiddish kinder, they don't have to see it, they don't have any of these things. But 20 years from now, 30 years from now, whatever it is, they're going to be, they're going to be trying to make a panosah, be in different places. So then what? So you can't build any technology that can climb into the brain of a person to keep out the tumah of this world. There's only one thing that could do that, and that's Rachman Aliba, that's Chassidus, that's Emunah that upon which is built skyscrapers of Torah learning. 100%. More and more Torah. When the Torah is being fed into the mouth of a Jew whose Emunah is healthy, then that person becomes a tzaddik, such a great person. He doesn't have to have machines that turn off the internet. He doesn't care, it doesn't affect him, doesn't make a difference to him. He's not tempted, he's not drawn, he's not seduced. But when your emunah is weak, even though you're sitting in yeshiva for all those years, one anthropology lecture, one pretty girl in the cafeteria in Queens College, you're finished. That's the end of it. 20 years of learning, couldn't stand up to one girl in the cafeteria. It's a pill, isn't it? 20 years. So what about all the schmoozing and that sefer that we saw standing online? That if you don't learn. See here, I learned. I listened to you. I spent 20 years. All I did was I sat in yeshiva. I never peeked out of yeshiva for 20 years. I meet one girl in the cafeteria. Boom, I'm finished. One website, finished. One lecture and this, I'm done. So then what do all the rabbis say to that person? He says, but I did what you told me, Rabbi. I did exactly what you told me. I sat with the Gemara for 20 years. So then the Rabbi will say, your tefillah didn't help you? He says, I don't remember one shmuz ever on davening. I don't know anything about davening. As a matter of fact, Rabbi, you yourself came late to davening every day. That's what I saw. I didn't think davening was a big thing. I don't know about davening. I never really worked on that. Every shmuz was what? Just to learn. And I did what you told me. So I don't get it. I learned for 20 years. I meet one girl in the cafeteria, and I'm finished. What happened? What happened to me? It's a good kasha. And the kasha is not such a big kasha on the bocher. It's a kasha on the parents and on the teachers. And where we're holding in our amunah. And what we're giving over in Avodas Hashem. To be God-fearing Jews, to have U.S. chayt. And if we think that 15 minutes in Mesillas Yesharim, no, 15 minutes, Musa said in Mesillas Yesharim, if we think that that's going to save the boy when he's in the cafeteria, so the teretz is, we're going to put up signs. Any boy that goes to that cafeteria is a Rosh Marusha. That's what we're going to do. In other words, we're going to keep the boys out of the cafeteria. That's the race. That's what they're trying to do. Doesn't work. It does work for some. Most people eventually find themselves in a cafeteria somewhere, you know, or in that kind of a place. That's just how life is. And then what's going to happen? If you're missing the foundation, as I said before, if the levee isn't strong, if it's from underneath, it's cracked. So then it's just a question of what level hurricane it is. So you thought you're a big tzaddik, because until that time you didn't meet anybody like that in the cafeteria. You met only a number 1, 2 hurricane. But then that day was number 5. So that's finished then. It was done. So everything is precious. Every avoda, and they're all right. Eretz Yisrael is Galdag Yisrael in being a Jew. And Tikkun HaMidos, and Torah, and it's all Gevaldig. But it's all when it's being fed into the mouth of a Jew who the foundation is there, being a mammon. Otherwise, Chazal themselves said that it could be a samisa. No, Chazal said it could be a samisa. Gemara and Kiddushin. It could be a samisa, means it could be, Torah itself can be a poison. Chazal said those words. The Torah itself can be a poison to a person. It's certainly talking about Madregas and Amunah. That a person's Torah learning is for the sake of their Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's not for something else. It's to serve Hashem. Mitarch Shalai Lashma Bar Lashma is when, as Reb Chaim Volozhin says, know that Tzaddikim is when the person's Ratzin is that it should be Lashma. Not when his entire Ratzin is to be able to say over some fancy thing.
Amo means Almanas Vasas.
Right. this is something that we have to come to terms with, of where the generation is headed, where we're holding. So he says there, Abigodum Ma'aid, the bottom of the page, Hulimud Torah B'Tmidis. It's very, very great to learn Torah B'Hasmada, to learn Torah all the time. It's the greatest thing. Gedolei Avodas Hashem, and great is Avodas Hashem, Avodah B'Chlal. Avodah b'chlal, avodah shebelev zu tefila b'frat, and avodah shebelev zu tefila b'frat, and avodah of the heart, which is tefila b'frat, which is davening b'frat. Chachmenu zal amru gedolei tefila yaisim masim tovim yaisim nekabanis. Chazal say that davening is greater than ma'asim tovim. Davening is greater than karbonis. Kedushena b'al Hashem tov. Omar shayidei atfila zoch legadlus kedushasa. The Baal Shem HaKadosh said through davening, through emuna. The Baal Shem said that's how he reached his madregas, through davening. Lo yizu avzu shagam atayir mitzvah tzvichin atfila. That's what I was saying a minute ago. All of our Torah and all of our mitzvahs needs davening. Without heart, without the emunah, the parchas leila doesn't rise up. The Torah doesn't work. Gam Torah and mitzvahs tzrichim l'tefila. K'mesh ha'tefila tzrichim l'Torah. You know that the Baal Shem HaKadosh is a famous maestro. Baal Shem HaKadosh sent, he had one of his great talmidim. He sent Rav Wolf Kitkis, he sent him, who was in the oil together, buried with the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem HaKadosh sent him. The Baal Shem sent him to prepare wine for Pesach.
It might have been wine for the whole year and for Pesach. I don't remember the whole Maisa. But the Baal Shem HaKadosh wanted that it should be from the beginning, from the time that the grapes were taken till the wine would be made, that it should be B'Kedusha B'Tahara. And there's a whole involved Maisa that he had to go far away someplace in Europe, I don't know where, till he got these grapes, and he did it, and he was there like for half a year preparing wine and all of this. And he had it covered. He was coming back with a wagon, and the wagon was covered with blankets. Was covered with blankets because it's brought down in Poskim that a goy shouldn't even see the wine. And the end of the ma'aseh, without going into all the problem, was that when he finally got back to Mezhbis, so when he came into town and he went to tell the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that he arrived with the wine that he prepared, that every single second it was all with the most unbelievable shmira, how he watched this, that everything should be 100% pure and good and everything should be right. So when he came out and telling the Baal Shem Tov, so there was a guy that had lifted off the blanket and was taking from the. There was a big barrel. He messed up the whole barrel. He was drinking from this. So Rav Zev Wolf started to cry. Reb, I spent 6 months on this. So the Baal Shem Tov said to him, "Im Hashem lo yishma bayis, shav omlu baynav bay." That means there's one thing you forgot. You didn't daven. You did the best you could to watch it. And you did everything with all of the chumras, gewaldig. Everything was gewaldig. But this is what I wanted to teach you. If you don't daven, if you don't cry out to the Baruch Shem to watch and to help you, and that there should be siyata d'shmaya, then it doesn't work. It doesn't work. All Torah and all Mitzvahs is svichin tefillah. As we know, davening requires Torah also. You look in the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya, Shara Chanukah, the Bezor HaKadosh, Shemei Yisham, Shaideh HaTfilah, Or HaTorah Nimshach Lanu. So the Baal HaTanya says that it's through davening, that the light of Torah is able to be drawn into our lives. It's through tefillah. Tefillah, which is an expression of the heart, which is avodah shebelev, is tefillah, rachmana liba boy, that draws the Torah into our lives. Meaning that a person can learn and know a lot of Torah, but it still remains hovering above his life. But it's only with the koyach of tefillah, of davening, that we're able to pull that Torah into our lives. And the mitzvahs that we do can only rise up with the koyach of tefillah. So the Torah can only descend, Torah which is min hashamayim, which comes from above, Torah can only be pulled into this world with tefillah. And our mitzvahs, which are from below to above, can only be sent up above with the koyach of tefillah. And then there could be a complete yichud from above and below. He says, this is a very high madrega. It's not easy to reach this. So Yaakov Avinu says to Esav, Eichar ad Ota, it took me a while to get here to this time. Perish Eicharti ba'avayda hazayis yom acha yom v'shana acha shana. So Noam Elimelech says that Yaakov Avinu was saying, Eichar ad Ota, it took me a long time. She'echarti ba'avayda hazayis. This was put off. It took a long time. Yom acha yom v'shana acha shana. It took a long time, day after day, year after year. V'zeu shamarti kva amar ana Hashem v'nishma kailoi perish esman aruch tzarech adam litzayk ana Hashem azreini she'eskel la'avducha be'emes v'az nishma kailoi. The Rebbe Elimelech says that when Yaakov Avinu was saying v'eichar ad ata, it doesn't mean that I didn't try. It doesn't mean that I delayed and postponed my avodas Hashem.
Echarti b'avoida means that in order for my avoida to be an avoida, it meant continuous work. And what was the work? Every day after day, year after year, crying out, Ana Hashem, please Hashem, until finally v'nishma koylai. Peshes man arul sarach adam litzayk, Ana Hashem azreini she'ezkel avdecha be'emes v'az nishma koylai. It takes years and years of continuous crying out, Ana Hashem, please Rabbi Shalom, help me. She'ezkel avdecha be'emes v'az nishma koylai. Those are the words of the Noam Elimelech. It takes a long time to become a Jew. It takes years and years and years of crying out, of Ana Hashem Azreini. B'shem Rav HaKadosh, Rabban Shal Kol B'nei HaGoyle, Rabbi Osher HaGoldim Mistalin, Al HaPosuk Tzoik Yitzak Eloi, Shemaya Eshma. If he screams and calls out to me, I will certainly listen. The Kefal Loshen. Shekama Pomim Alfi Elofim Pomim Tzoik Lidresh Al Kol Dovish Lei Yayne. Rabban Shal Stalin says that when it says everything doubled, Tzoik Yitzak. When a person, so he says a person has to call out thousands and thousands of times for everything in life. And all of his avodas Hashem shalayeni means what shalayiramis atzmi lomishet tzoiku be'emes. You think that when you call out once, you think that when you daven and you say those words that you're not fooling yourself, that they're really, really, really coming from your heart, that they're really be'emes, words that are spoken truthfully. He says, Sa'ik Yitzak. You have to cry out and more and more and more that you should come to one true tzaka, that it should be true. Shaliyaramis Atzma, don't deceive yourself, don't fool yourself. Loimish at Sa'iku Be'emis, to think that your tzaka, that you're davening, that you're calling out is Be'emis. Void Eino Tzayik. It's not really called screaming. You might be raising your voice, but it's not called screaming. Like Rabbi Nachman said, that the deepest tefillah of all is the one that nobody ever hears. That's the deepest tefillah. Rabbi Nachman spoke often about a tzaka b'leiv. He said that when a person is when you're in a room and there are 1,000 people in the room, and how do you scream out to Hashem is Baruch? He says you scream so loud that nobody could hear you. That's the loudest scream of all. So loud that nobody in the world hears you. Only the Rabbi Shlomo. Okay, the Stalners, we know they talk a scream loud. Yeah. So a bunch of Stalners, they stay around the scream. But Tzoik Yitzak is, you have to cry and scream. He says, Eshel Yiram Esas Malim Eshel Tzoiku Be'emes. Don't fool yourself to think that the Tzoik is a Tzoik Amitis, but in a Tzoik, it's not really screaming, you have to try more and more. Chol Tzvila Tzoich L'Kof L'Kam HaPa'amim, he says. You have to daven over and over. Till you're able to daven be'emes in truth. But let me lev amayk from the depths of the heart. Kashihi avaydis atfila. This is a very difficult avayda. Achazot davening. Because davening depends on the muna. Other things, you know, learning, it doesn't, as we said, learning doesn't necessarily depend upon the muna. Learning, you're fascinated, you're interested, you have a sharp legal mind, whatever it might be. But davening, there should be an emes to davening. Without emuna, it doesn't work. That's why emuna is. That's why davening is a big problem, and that's why I've been saying all the time that they think that they're going to have, you know, that they're going to have. Special, you know, the rabbis are going to get up and give a lecture on respecting the covenant of tefillah, and that's going to do it. You can get up and scream from Heint bis Morgen. You could scream, every rabbi can get up and they can make the biggest campaigns to respect davening. But if the people in the shul don't have emunah, or their emunah is very weak, so then davening, you can't fake davening. I mean, emes of davening can't be without their emunah. So you can make any campaign you like. And you could have the greatest
the greatest mashgichim and the greatest professors, lahavdil, come in and lecture on tefillah, and they can put out books and papers on every table, don't talk during davening, and respect the kavodat tefillah, and kavodat tefillah, kavodat tefillah. What tefillah? Tefillah means talking to the Baruch Shalom. And davening means avodas halev. If your heart is empty, and if you don't have emunah in Hashem, not just to believe that He exists, but you haven't worked on your emunah, so then it's very hard that there should be kavodat tefillah. The only way you could have kavodat tefillah is that people just to become more disciplined and to respect somebody else who is a mammon, which is also madrig. That the guy next to you may, that you should think that maybe he believes in God, so at least I shouldn't talk because it bothers him. That's also madrig. That's called derech eretz. That you could talk about. You could tell people there might be somebody in shul that believes in God, and it's not nice because if you all talk, then he won't be able to daven. And that's also a chashuv thing. That's also derech eretz. But it's very hard to sell that. Very hard to sell that. Because the one mom in Sayyid is okay. For that one guy, he should go daven someplace else. He doesn't have to mess me up. That one guy. So one guy in shul is a mom, and for that, I can't talk about my week. I can't share my thoughts about the Palestinians and politics and so on. So they're going to stand up in shul, everybody's talking, he's going to talk now about how Palestinians were burning down shuls in Gaza, right? So Jews are going to be gathered in shuls all over the world, Hashem Yerachem, and I'm going to be talking during davening about those Rishonim that are standing on shuls, burning down shuls. And every word they're saying is burning down the shul that they're standing in. Every word that they're saying is burning down the shul. Not Palestinians. Not anti-Semites. Orthodox Jews. Every word that they're speaking, every word that they're saying in shul, talking about Palestinians burning down shuls, every word is burning down their own shul. What are you going to say? So that, because that depends on emunah. That's a vaydah of a life. What?
Thinking about things that could only be passed down from a Masorah and not from a textbook, that you need a Rebbe, that you need Lamina to teach.
Of course, it doesn't have to be his peers. Of course, it's part of it. That's true. Textbook. Look, Svarim are not textbooks. So I don't like that word textbook. But what we can do is, this is part of our Masorah. We have Rebbeim. And we have living Rebbeim. We have Rebbeim who are no longer amongst the living in this world. And if we pour our karchis into learning the Svarim HaKadoshim, then that's certainly, we could certainly change. Would it make things a lot easier if we receive this in the living Messiah? Sure. And that's what we have to do for our children, Mr. Hashem. We'll try. And that's the ideal. But Baruch Hashem, we have Svarim that, we have to try to learn them, and to learn them the emes, and to learn them with our hearts and our minds, to try to get to that. You know, we'll come back next week and we'll jump to this paragraph of Kashi Avodas HaTefillah.